on a stormy sea of sin. I was sinking. Never, never to rise again. Though the wind and her waves round me crashing had battered and tore me within, Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued me from the cold dark waters of sin's troubled sea. Jesus rescued me, for new life I can see. Jesus reached down, he reached down his hand, and he rescued me. I could feel death all around me as I struggled for my life. I could see that old death angel waiting to claim me for his prize. But in my hour of desperation, you see, I almost lost my mind. But somehow I cried, Lord Jesus, and he saved me just in time. From the cold dark waters of sin's troubled sea, Jesus rescued me. For new life I can see. Jesus reached down, he reached down his hand, and he rescued me.
Brother Bragg and I wouldn't be where we're at right now because of Brother Tucker. You don't mind me mentioning his name, do you? Because he's our father in the Lord, really, because he's the one that caused us to go to these meetings every month, and we're about to wore down, you know. Thank you, Brother Tucker. We're still going, and it's getting harder and harder, though. We've already been to I don't know how many states since July. And it's rough on us, you know. But tonight I feel like I had a shot in the arm, which has helped me to go a little further, you know. I appreciate it, and I appreciate being with Brother and Sister Paul D. Fulton, and for letting us come and spend the night in their mansion, which Brother Bragg was supposed to come in 2004 and help build it. And we were looking forward to that, Brother Fulton. And he was too, I think. And we were planning on being in church here, you know, and being with God's people. But the doctor stopped that for Brother Bragg. It just stopped him temporarily. It didn't stop him very long. Matter of fact, he's going stronger now than he ever has, as far as working and things and going. And it wasn't a physician that done it. What about that? Wasn't a physician, because he refused all that help, because he had 90% blockage in his heart. He had hypertension. He had double hernia. You name it, nearly he had. But and the doctor tried to get him to do something for it, and he said, "Well, I've went all these years, trust the Lord, I'm gonna continue on till the end of this thing, you know." So far it's worked, you know. Woo! With the hand of the Lord on our side, it will, won't it? And I thought about, there's two kings in the Old Testament that I've been reading about that I'm getting a lot out of, and that is King Asa and King Hezekiah. Two different situations there. And King Hezekiah, they said, you know, he was dying, you know, he's going to die. And but he didn't look to the Lord. He looked to physicians, the scripture said. He turned to the physicians, and he died. Now, on the other hand, King Hezekiah, when the prophet Isaiah, I think it was, came to him and said, "The Lord told me to tell you you're going to die and not live, and get your house in order." King, you know what King Hezekiah done? He prayed this prayer. "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and done that which is good in thy sight." And he turned his face to the wall, the scripture said, and he wept sore. That's crying, isn't it? Have you ever wept sore? I think I have sometimes, but not like Hezekiah did. And he got the job done. Because before Isaiah the prophet got out very far, going home, I guess, the Lord told him, said, "Go back. Go back and tell Hezekiah. I heard his prayer." He's got ears, hadn't he? God's got ears. "And I saw his tears." So he sees, don't he? And he must not have been very far away, you know, to see and hear all this. And it's, "I'm going to give you 15 more years to your life." Wasn't that something? Because he prayed that prayer and cried to the Lord. Well, the other one didn't do it, you know. So that's the kind I want to fashion after, you know. I've been praying that prayer a lot, trying to get that same answer from the Lord, you know. So I don't know what's going to happen, but if it worked for him, why not for me? If God could talk through a donkey, why not through me? Why can't he do something to me? But he did, you know. Talk to Balaam's was it a mule or what was it, donkey? I'm not going to say the other. And Brother Bragg says, "Well, it's in the Bible, say it." And I said, "No, I can't say it." So he did that, you know. Talked through the mule. And if he can do that, he can with me. So I'm depending on God to do things for me like that. Well, I love the Lord. I love being right here with God's people. And Brother and Sister Crow, she said a while ago, told somebody, said, "We're old timers." Well, I said, "Wait a minute now, oh." She said, "I didn't mean it that way." But, you know, it seems like it has been a long time, all right. And we've been doing a lot of things, being seen together at the campground and different places. And we're kind of moving on, going on out west more, and with God's people, not going to see, you know, sites or Disneyland, Disney World, or all that. That's not on our agenda, you know, at all. So, but Brother Tucker, when we first came here in 67, he introduced us. He said, because Brother Bragg had already told him a few things before we sat down that day. And he said, "Brother and Sister Bragg were saved in the Church of God, received the Holy Ghost in the Assembly of God, and now they fellowship all God's people." I remember what he said, and that suits us real good. And we do. We try to fellowship all God's people, because he's got them everywhere, don't he? But I know this much, that he did add us to the body of Christ right here. Not in this spot right here, but in a little white building over there somewhere when it first started that I loved. And Brother Tucker said it used to be a dance hall. Said it still is, but we've changed partners. And I found that out. It's still dance hall, you know, but we love it in the Spirit of God. Why should we have, why can't we feel it, you know? I wouldn't want anything I couldn't feel. And I feel it in the Lord. And I'm thanking God. Thank you for letting us be here and speak, okay? God bless you.
Hospital. I went to the bank. I think I was going to cash a check or something. I can't remember what I went there for, but I got there, and I always keep my debit card, my license stuff in a little pocket in my purse, and I went to get my identification out, and it wasn't there. And I thought, this is all I need right now. I'm stressed to the max, and here first thing I thought, somebody must have just slipped their hand right in my purse and took it out at the hospital or something. And I kept thinking, it's so hard to get those out of there because I have to really work to pull those cards out of that little pocket. And I thought, I'd been at the apartment upstairs, and I thought, surely to goodness, I must have left it on the desk. I had been on the phone making some calls to the insurance or something, and I thought, maybe I took it out and laid it there on the desk. I got back to the apartment, and it was nowhere to be found. And I tell you, I just fell apart. You're talking about Hezekiah weeping sorely. I was calling out to the Lord with everything, every ounce of strength I had in my body. I said, God, you know I can't handle anymore right now. I said, please. I was hollering just about. I said, Lord, please, if that is anywhere to be found, please just show me or tell me where it's at. I turned around and looked, and it was laying up on the bookshelf. Don't ask me how in the world I could put it there. That whole stack was laying on the bookshelf. Why I put it there, I have no clue. But I tell you, I could just dance all over that old apartment. I thought, when we are in earnest and God knows we are calling from everything we have within us, He'll answer our prayers. And He did for me. I mean, that might not seem like a lot, but it was a lot to me. All I was thinking through my mind was, what little bit of money we had has been wiped out. Somebody's had plenty of time to just go and, you know, wipe it out. And that came to my mind when she was telling that story about Hezekiah, because I know the Lord hears us, and He proved to me that He hears us. Sometimes I think maybe sometimes my prayers don't get more than this high, but that day they did. And I was just so thankful, and I still am thankful that He's mindful, and when we need Him, He's there for us.
I just tell people I've been here a long time. I don't tell them I'm old. I've just been here a long time. But anyway, I thought I'm a reminiscer. I really reminisce a lot. And I think of friends. It's been my friends for years and years. And not too long ago, I was thinking of all of the past and the good times that we've had, and I thought about Brother and Sister Bragg. I remember the time that Brother Freyer, a bunch of his people come through, and we, Brother and Sister Bragg and a bunch of us from the church here, we went to Fordyce, wasn't it? Went way, way, way down in the country. And the mosquitoes were so bad that honestly, if the little ones didn't get you, the big ones did. And I mean to tell you, they was bad. And we went to this this old schoolhouse, and we had service that night. And it was a lot of us. Used to, I don't know what's happened to us now, but used to, you mentioned go, everybody was ready to go. I mean, old and young and whatever. I mean, we jumped in the cars, and we went down this old dusty road. And it was just a long, like a caravan of us people. And the dust, you couldn't hardly see to even drive because the dust was so bad. But here we went. It was just, I don't know, it was a number of cars of us. And we had service, and I mean, the mosquitoes had to move out of the way because we was getting going. We had a good time, and I thought... It's just wonderful to get with God's people and really want to go and to get in and have a good time. And I mean, we did. And we, that old schoolhouse, I don't know how it had been a long time since it had been used. But I mean to tell you, we knocked the dust out of the cracks. We really pushed them walls out, and here we went. I mean, we really had us a good time that night. And then here we come back down that dusty road, and I can almost taste that dust now. But anyway, I thought what a good time that we had. And, you know, people wonders about us, what we do for entertainment. But you know what? To get with God's people and to talk about the good word of God and to feel his spirit. Brother Bragg, there's just not nothing any better, I'll tell you. God is so good. And I don't want to lose that. I mean, I want to always... want that good feeling and all, because after all, that's our life and all. So God is just so good to us, and I appreciate him. I thank him for all that he's done for me. And so I feel like telling something. They say that something, when something good happens for you, you should always tell about it. And I think well, I don't want to bore anybody, but Brother Bragg, y'all have never heard it, so I'm going to tell you tonight. About 7 years ago, I had aneurysm of the brain. We was getting ready to go to Memphis to a meeting, and we always stay with some of the Benfield kids over there. They're a lot younger than what we are. In fact, they're just young people, but they like Carl and me, and they like for us to stay with them, and we're just kind of like a mom and daddy to them. And they always say, now when you come, remember, we want you to stay with us. So we had our reservations with them, and we was going to go. We was packed up to go. And you know, God works things so different than we do. And so normally that day I had my suitcase packed. We was ready to go because that afternoon they always feed in the afternoon, you know, about 4 or 5 o'clock. So, but anyway, that day we was going to go early and just take our time. So I had ripe tomatoes. It was in October. And, of course, I like corn dogs. And I told Harlan, now, normally we would went on down the road and had a sandwich somewhere. But I said, you know what? I think that I will fix us some good ripe tomatoes and corn dogs. He said, that sounds good to me. So, but see, that was the Lord right there, because normally we'd been gone on down the road. Well, we got to sit down and start eating, and, oh, I'm just enjoying it so much. And all at once I got sick, and I thought, hey, now I can't get sick because we're going to have a good time, and I don't like to miss nothing, you know. So I didn't say anything to my husband. I just kept eating, and of course I was getting slower and slower. It didn't taste very good, and my mouth was getting full, and I didn't know what to do with it, and I didn't want to say anything to him and all. I thought, this will pass. I'll get better in a few minutes and all. But anyway, I didn't. I just kept getting worse. So I just got up from the table, and of course our living room, we got a big door between the living room and the kitchen, so I just got up, and I didn't say anything to him. I just went in and sat down in my chair. But before I got to the chair, it felt like that somebody hit me with their fist in the back of my head, and I screamed out. I said, oh, honey, something's wrong with me. And my mind just went everything. I thought, oh, my Lord, what in the world could be happening to me? And so I went out. I just went out. So when I come back too, I said, call Judy. That's her daughter. And he called her, and then she called the doctor, and he said, well, take her to the emergency room. So anyway, things begin to just, I couldn't remember anything, and finally I just went completely out. Well, to make a long story short, well, the ambulance come, and they took me to the hospital. Well, that night, they had to do surgery during the night because, I'll back up a little bit, the church people come. And I don't know when I ever seen as many church people come, not just because it was me, but it makes me feel so good when I read over all the people that come. But anyway, they had so many people, they had to tell them that, some of them told me that they had too many people in there. The waiting room was just filling up, you know, and the people just kept coming. Well, anyway, Brother Weininger asked them, said, do you have a place that we can go pray? Because if God hadn't done something, I wouldn't be here tonight. So they went in and they prayed. And it was people come that I never even thought about. I had people come from Benton and just different places, people that I hadn't even seen for years. But I was so thankful that they thought enough of me that they come. So, but anyway, they prayed. Well, they did have to do surgery. And I've got a little hole right up here in my head. Right now, and ever so often, I put my finger up there. Right now, and I feel that. And they put a hole in my head. You've heard people say, well, that's another hole in my head. Well, I've got another one up there. And so anyway, and they let that blood out. And well, but before the ambulance left my house, I would come and go. And all. And Harlan said it seemed like they never was going to get ready to go. But anyway, they put this tube in my head, and they got that blood out. And but anyway, God's people was praying for me, and they said I talked to them and everything like that, but I don't remember anything about it. They done all the things they supposed to do to me, but I didn't know anything about it. So anyway, one day, I woke up, and I knew everything. My mind was just as clear as it could be. Well, the doctors kept coming in, and they'd ask me, Miss Crow, what's your name? I thought, well, now I'm in the hospital. I know y'all know my name. What are they asking me these silly questions for? And I told them my name. They said, well, what's your address? And I thought, well, my goodness, this is some place. They don't even know my address. Of course, see, I wasn't myself. I didn't. What I mean is, I wasn't thinking straight. I didn't know why that they asked me, but they're checking to see if it affected my mind. And also, I told them just real promptly my address, my name, my age, and just how much I weighed, probably, and everything, you know. But anyway, then they went on about their business. But anyway, that day that I woke up, and my mind was just so clear and everything. But they asked me these things before this, after this. When I come to myself and everything was just clear, I felt like that someone was watching me. And I looked all around. I was in the critical care unit at the Baptist Hospital. And, of course, I was back there where, you know, they got all those beds and got the deal around me and everything like that. And I just looked around to see who was watching me. You know, that when anyone's looking at you, you can feel them, you know. And I looked around and thought, who in the world is watching me? Because I felt it really strong and all. And I couldn't see anybody, so I just kind of laid there and relaxed. And a voice said to me, you felt as someone was looking at you, said it's your guardian angel watching over you. And I'll tell you, the Spirit of the Lord come all over me. I tell you, I thought I was going to have to get out of that bed and run the miles. I just felt so good, and I thought, Lord, I knew that was the Lord, and all. And then I looked to the side of my bed, and there was a person standing beside my bed in white apparel, and I knew that was a heavenly being, and I looked around to make sure that there was nothing hanging on my bed or nothing. I wanted to make sure. And I thought, look, to myself, as I told y'all, I talked to myself. And I thought, I'm going to just relax a few minutes, and fat is still there. I know that is an angel. And so I relaxed a few minutes and looked, and it was there again. And then it said to me, said, everything is going to be all right. And again, the Spirit of the Lord just covered me, and I'll tell you what, I just felt so good. And I appreciated it so much. I said, Lord, I am so unworthy of this. I am so unworthy. But anyway, it happened, and that was a great experience to me. Brother Bragg, that I'll never forget that, because I felt that great experience of that standing by my bed and all. And so later, I told my doctor about it, and he read over my, whenever they got through with the surgeon and all, they turned my information back to my family doctor. And so he said, well, Miss Crow, said, looking at your information that they give me back, said, I cannot deny but what something from above was watching over you. I said, you better believe it. I said, that was God. And so then we went back one time after that. Someone was in the hospital. They was back there, the same place where I was at. And so Harlan showed me the very place that I was at. And so the girls there, the nurses and all, I was telling them my experience, and they said, woo, I feel something. I said, that's the Lord. That's what that is. So anyway, God is so good. And then the doctor that dismissed me, in fact, when Harlan, I think is maybe it's when I had some surgery not too long back, but anyway, this doctor, when he dismissed me, he said, Miss Crow, said, would you like to go home? And I said, yes, I think I would. I said, although y'all have been so nice to me and everything. And he said, well, we hate to see you go home, because I said, you've been a good patient. I said, everybody likes you. And I thought, I don't know what I did. I don't know whether I preached to the people. I don't know what I did. I don't know why they like me. But anyway, he said, they really like you. And he said, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Said, you are our miracle lady. Said, we almost lost you. And so I told him, I said, well, I had a lot of people praying for me. See, we had this meeting at Memphis a day and 2 days or something like that. And then they was going from there to Jacksonville, Florida. Brother Dye was having a meeting, and so they prayed for me there. So I told him, I said, well, I really had lots of people praying for me. And he said, I know you have. But said, you are certainly our miracle lady, because said, we almost lost you. So I don't know how bad it was, but I'm sure it was pretty bad, or he wouldn't say that they almost lost me. So I really feel honored of God that he kept his hand on me and that I'm still here. And I thank the Lord for my health. I just turned 85 not long ago, and the Lord still permits me to work in my yard, and I do just about everything. Harlan's not too able to do very much anymore, so I just go on and do things just like that I was a young person, do what I can. But God is so good, and I appreciate him and another thing too, I haven't made it yet, and I still want to strive on and make it, because after all, this is a wonderful gospel, and I'm so thankful that the Lord permitted me to see this way. I'm glad that he dealt with me when I was 17 when I met this body. And I was praying for, I didn't know what I was praying for, but I was just a young person. But I've always admired people that live for God, and I always wanted to live for the Lord myself. And so as I've told y'all before, I've walked the countryside when I get my work done at home, help my mother. The ladies would have a prayer meeting, and I always went. And of course, my sisters was good girls, but they wasn't as interested as I was. And I prayed that the Lord would send us someone that could teach us what the Word of God meant. And in the community where we lived, we had lots of good dedicated sisters, and we would gather and have prayer meeting. Well, I was just a young person, but I wanted to go be with them, because I like, just like I heard about this black lady. Every time they had a prayer line, she always went down to be prayed for. And so she said, I just want to tell y'all something. Said, I am not sick, There ain't nothing wrong with me, but said I just like this good feeling. So that's just the way I was. I like to go and be with them people, and I like that good feeling, and I've had many wonderful experiences in the Lord, and I'm glad that meeting with those sisters in that community, we prayed that the Lord would send us somebody, and he did. And I'm glad that I had a part of that, because, brother, I was right there. When they went to pray, I was there. I walked many miles in the dusty road because we didn't have a lot of cars back then. And so it was walk or else. But I'll tell you what, I hit the road, and I'm glad. I'm glad that I did that. And today, I'm still hitting the road. So I just hate that we don't get to go to the meetings like we did because, I think I could stand it. But Harlan, his health's not quite as good as mine. But anyway, we got some friends that they send us some DVDs and all. So anyway, we're still hearing the good news. And so God is so good to us. So I just want Brother Sister Bragg to know what God really done for me. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate and I love him for it. And it makes me want to really live close to the Lord because this is a wonderful way. And to know, to know that this is the truth and that the Lord has permitted us, you know what, that is something to really feel good about and feel honored because God has let us in on his truth and all. And to think that we've all come out of all walks of life and we've heard everything in the book, but God let somebody come and to tell us what the truth really is. And I'll tell you what, I don't take that lightly. I appreciate it. And I thank God every day, Lord, I just can't believe that you let me in on this. Little me, I know I don't amount to very much, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm a soul, and God is saving souls. Now, I'm so glad that he's in the saving business and that I have got a chance to go along with y'all. So like I said one time, might as well scoot over because I'm going with you.
Different tonight. Let's just, as we're taking our prayer requests, let's have the ushers come forth and go ahead and receive the missionary offering for the night, and then we'll. I'm not a very structured person. Anyway. We'll just, instead of having a song, what we'll do is we'll just, as I'm taking up their prayer request, we'll just pass the pan then. So I'll just go ahead. I want to pray for Brother, people in the Dominican. They're returning, is it Friday? They're coming back? They'll be back Friday. Let's pray. It's just in 2 days, and they're having a wonderful time over there, and we want to just pray the Lord's hand be on them. Sister Fisher, was you raising your hand? Sister Wilkins is sick. Sister Rice isn't here. We got a lot of people aren't here tonight. Who else? I've distracted y'all. See, that ain't going to work no more. We're not going to do that.
For your brother?
Yeah, my oldest brother. For Moniker's oldest brother? They put him back in the hospital. And he, what was he having a problem with? His heart?
Was it heart? Nervous system, I believe.
Okay.
Not acting himself.
Okay. Sister. She's talking about her daughter, and they put a stent in to help. They broke up the kidney stones, put a stent in for it to help pass them. But yet she still got more stones in her kidney. And so I couldn't I can't imagine what that would be like, because I just can't imagine. I just passed one little old stone and I thought I was going to die. And so I can't imagine going through something like that. So we need to really pray for her. Sister Abraham. Sister Abraham has an unspoken request and wants us to remember her family. Andrew. Okay. God, pray God show him his will. Unspoken request. Yes. Pray for Sister Yvonne's eyes. Let's pray for Brother Curtis. Okay. Brother Curtis, let's pray for him. Know the Lord is interested in everything that we do. And you have to make a living to provide for your family. So the Lord's interested in that. Very. McGowan's, yes, he called. You know, he's got this problem with his legs. He said he can't really stand up or walk. And so he's home tonight. So I know he covets our prayers. Reva's home and the babies are home. So keep praying for them. There's going to be an adjustment having these twins. And then I don't know if she's going to be on this medication or what. But I know she's had a tough time. So, okay. Let's stand, take these knees before the Lord and thank God for what he's done here tonight and the good things we received. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, dear God, come to you now. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, for saving us, for rescuing us. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we're needy people. We have so many needs, so many unspoken requests here, Lord, that are brought before you. Know every need that every person that requested is going through, Lord. We ask you to cover them, give them peace in those situations.